Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but at this time we invite you to look with us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Again, Romans 12, starting at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verses 1 through 21, all of Romans chapter 12. Father, we thank you today for how that your word guides, informs us, empowers us, and strengthens us as we spend time in your word each and every day. Father, with every passing day, more and more help us to fall in love with you and your word, and help us to live more and more in your word day by day. And Father, teach us to learn to move in the power of your Holy Spirit, and teach us to take and learn the gifts that you've invested in us and put them to use for your glory more and more with every passing day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're just about 3 days away from our Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. And if you haven't registered yet, there's still time. Hope that you'll consider doing that. That's this Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th. At Hope Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Registration is $35 per person, per adult, that is. Kids come for free. And for the ages 4 to 12, there will be a conference inside the conference. So for that age group. So hoping that you'll come and be with us, and hope that you'll be praying also for the Lord to anoint the event and to use it mightily in the building of his kingdom. Please take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. We would really, really appreciate that. We're blessed to have in studio once again with us today, Billy Joe and Ruthie Young, and they're intercessors and have been involved with the ministry of intercession for many, many years. And today we're going to be looking at a book that Sister Ruthie wrote called Your Destiny and His Glory. Billy Joe and Ruthie, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Joseph.
Good to have you all with us once again. And I want to ask, if before we start, if you all would tell us once again about the name of the ministry that you've been involved with, and just a little bit more about what you've done over the years in ministry. So I'll let you all, whoever wants to start first, be fine.
Well, the name of it is Repairs of the Breach. And
That's found in Isaiah 58, talking about rebuilding the walls. And our early focus was on seeing healing racially in the state of Mississippi. We wanted to see revival and transformation of our state, communities, and individuals. So that's where our focus was, and it was through prayer, gathering people all across the state to pray for those purposes. And so out of that, we've just continued to work, and we've worked with several organizations, and today we are aligned with Glory of Zion and continue to work to see Mississippi changed and see the racial divide healed.
You know, something, Billy Joe, that comes to my mind is that, you know, you mentioned that, of course, prayer was a foundational part of everything that you did ministry-wise. And one of the truths that makes me think about as it relates to what you've just shared is that we're so wise to really start what we do with prayer, because prayer releases the Spirit of God to work. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, He always knows what to do. And if we're wise, it's like we allow the Spirit of God just to do what He does and bring healing and wholeness to whatever the situation might be, as opposed to believers that just, we go out on our own, we do what we think works, and sometimes we fall flat on our faces because typically we don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit always does. So we're wise to bathe what we do in prayer, no matter who we are, what we're called to do. So thank you for sharing that about the ministry. And Ruthie, you've written two books. Now, this book that we're going to talk today about is called Your Destiny, His Glory, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what is the title of the second book?
The second book is The Covenant Keeper, where I look at the tenets of covenant in the Old Testament all the way through the New and see how Jesus is the covenant keeper. We can't keep covenant, but He can.
Okay.
And that's the focus of the book, is to understand a little bit more about covenant. Covenant is a big subject, a deep subject, and but I felt to share what my heart was about covenant.
Okay.
And that was my new book. It came out last Tuesday on Amazon, and on our website is Mississippi Repairs of the Breach, MSRepairsOfTheBreach.com.
Mm-hmm. And well, of course, today we're going to be looking at the first book, so we got to have you back so we can talk about The Covenant Keeper another time then. So, and we'll look forward to that.
Wonderful.
So, again, Your Destiny, His Glory, the subtitle, Discover the How and Why of Your Design. Ruthie, as we start, if you could summarize just the message of the book in maybe one or two sentences, what would you say is that message would be?
When Jesus began His greatest mission on earth, when He was at the point of going to the cross, the week of Passover, the Word says He knew who He was, He knew where He came from, and He knew where He was going. He knew who He was.
Mm-hmm.
And so by understanding and knowing His identity and His focus, He walked to the cross. And what that says to me, God put within each one of us a destiny, a mission. He put us here for His purpose. But we have to know who we are. We have to know where we came from. And we have to know where we're going. Our identity is one of, just one, but it is one of the foundational stones for us to understand our mission here on earth, our destiny, our importance, and also helps us to value other people in the body and come into a unity, because we all carry a part. We each carry a vital part, but we understand that the others have a vital part too. And together, when we understand that design, when we have our understanding of our identity, we can come into a unity in the body of Christ. And you know, when we are in that unity, there's nothing that God can't do with us, through us, and shift our situations, shift the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that that you touch on powerfully. Of course, you're talking about specifically the gifts as listed in Romans chapter 12 in your book. Well, you know, it's so helpful for a believer, number one, to understand, number one, that they are a gift. They're a gift from God.
Yes.
And a gift, and actually really many gifts, but as you, in your book, you focus on some of the gifts listed specifically in chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is, if you had to share your perspective, and Billy Joe, I want you to feel free to jump in anywhere you want to, but if we had to say why we need to understand the giftedness of every believer, why is that important in the body of Christ? You know, you think of this, like a lot of times as local churches, we tend to think, well, we've got what we need in our local church. And, you know, so why is it important for us to recognize the gifts in the full body of Christ and the way we're gifts to each other?
Well, I see that there are list of gifts in the New Testament, three different ones.
Okay.
And here's my perspective on that, and then I'll get right to that, is there are the ascension gifts that Jesus gave to the church, apostle, prophet, teacher, those gifts.
And those are listed in Ephesians.
Ephesians, right. And then there's the list in 1 Corinthians, the tongues and word of wisdom and word of knowledge and those gifts. And that's manifestation. And those are given by the Holy Spirit. But in the Romans gifts, these are the grace gifts that the Father gives. And I believe that every person, whether you're Christian or not, you have one of those seven gifts. Seven to the Lord is a number of completion. And so when we understand our one portion of that, and yet understanding it is only one portion of the fullness or the wholeness, we need all seven to have the fullness of God. Therefore, I understand I'm carrying one of those, and what I have is important to bring to the table. If I'm not there at the table with my gift, it's an incompleteness, but it also helps me to look at the body of Christ and see there are six more of those gifts sitting at the table. And in Ephesians, it says he gave gifts, let me read it just a minute, for his purposes, so that we could bring forth his variegated wisdom. And what that verse says to me is this: we each, in this redemptive gift that we carry, in this grace gift that we carry, carry the fingerprint of God. We carry a tiny portion of his wisdom. When we gather together with all seven gifts present, then that's variegated. That's different colors. That's what variegated mean. All the different colors come forth by listening to my gift and all the other six gifts. We come forth with the fullness of the wisdom of God in the earth. And it says in that scripture, the principalities and powers of the air are watching that to see, because as his body coming together, focusing and hearing each other in unity, we will express wisdom in the earth that will astound even the heavenlies, the angels, the demons. All that's in the principalities and powers will be astounded by the wisdom of God.
Okay. Well, we're going to pick up there on the other side. And as we start, we're going to pray for God to help us to really have ears to hear, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak to every listener about their gifts today. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests are Billy Joe and Ruthie Young. We'll be right back after this break.
Meet Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
Jill came into our center about 8 months ago, and she was in a really difficult spot because her husband had, her boyfriend was incarcerated. She didn't have a place to live. She's out on the street. She came into our center, and when she saw her baby on the ultrasound, she says, I've got to find a way to do this. She changed from abortion-minded to wanting to choose life for her baby, and that's where we came in. coming beside that altar sound with baby clothes, with housing for her. Her baby just delivered last Wednesday. It's a little boy. He's beautiful. That's the power of ultrasound.
80% of women choose life when they see their baby on ultrasound. To find out more about how you can help save a baby's life, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
The Capital One commercial will forever be etched in the ear of the listener. What's in your wallet is a phrase that won't easily be forgotten. But this is not a Capital One plug. I want you to think about the people that are in your circle of influence. Who's in your circle is my new catchphrase. Simply because we don't think enough about the people or spirits that we allow into our personal space. Negativity is contagious and fatal. Misery loves company, and it's fatal to your hopes and dreams. I think we all know someone who, no matter what good has happened, always has something negative to say. Ugh, that really bothers me. That bad attitude and that pessimistic spirit will only cause you to do the same. There's no room for doubt, especially if you're believing God to bring that vision to fruition. Now, this is not a license for you to be mean. It is, however, a license for you to assess who's in your circle and make the necessary adjustments. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Yo, yo, what's up?
Hey, what's
nothing
up?
Nothing much, man. Just trying to listen to this last song for the music final.
Yeah, I think I'm going to fail for the most part. I haven't even listened to it.
Ugh, yeah, me neither. I've been too busy listening to The Word on the Street.
The Word on the Street?
Wait, you guys haven't heard?
Not heard of it.
Not me.
Mm-hmm. Not that one.
Well, check this out.
There is only one true word. And that is the Word of God, which is what you will hear on Word on the Street, hosted by me, Victory McIntosh. Tune in as we discuss some of the latest hot topics and life issues and filter them all through the Holy Word of God. It is possible to live righteous before the Lord and enjoy doing it. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 Central Time. You don't want to miss it.
Music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guests today are Billy Joe and Ruthie Young. And as we start this segment, Brother Billy Joe, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear as the Holy Spirit speaks to them about their spiritual gifts today.
Okay. And I just want to say, as Ruthie was sharing, this is not just believers who have these gifts. Mm-hmm. Everyone has that thumbprint of God in their lives. Mm. But it's as believers when we're working together and we recognize each other's gifting mm-hmm. that we begin to see the fullness. Mm. And I believe God. That's really what the Lord is looking for, is that fullness mm-hmm. and manifestation in our lives.
That happens when believers come together.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
So, Father, we just thank you for today.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for the revelation of the gifts in Romans. We thank you, Father, that you have placed in our lives a thumbprint.
Thank you, Lord.
Our DNA, that you made us special, each individual one of us. And Father, we just want to be able to recognize that gift, that DNA, and how you made us, and how we see the world, and how we respond to each other through that gift. And Lord, I pray that we would have more understanding today, all of those of who are listening, and even us as well here in the studio. We just want to hear and know. And Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see with revelation, Lord. And I just bless this time and bless the listeners as we continue in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for every person listening. And Father, I pray by the end of the broadcast that every single believer listening will at least have a desire to want to know what their gifts are, or will begin to have somewhat or much of an understanding of what their gifts are and desire to really put them in greater use to glorify you in the building of your kingdom. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, Billy Joe and Ruthie Young are in-studio guests, and we're talking about the book, Your Destiny, His Glory, Discovering the How and Why of Your Design that God has given to you. And Ruthie, as we start, I'm going to share a little bit, a couple of excerpts from the book, and then I want you to expound on them. This is from the first chapter. It says, gaining insight into your personal grace gift will lead you into new ways to interpret your response to the community in which you live. And then skipping over to the next page, it says, imagine a huge diamond, perfectly cut. Suddenly, a dazzling pure white light passes through this gem, and it comes alive with 7 distinct colors. These rainbow colors are full of myriads of shades and blends, all dancing with light and brilliance. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As his light shines through us, we become alive with his light, reflecting one of those 7 colors. That is his fingerprint in us, our one portion, our shade of his pure white light, which is our Romans 12 gift. Would you expound on what you're saying through that passage?
Yes. As Billy Joe said, I believe we're each one of us born with one of these gifts. In fact, science has shown that at the moment of conception, there is a flash of light. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is God's fingerprint in every baby born, regardless of where, what, every person comes into the world with one of these gifts. Mm-hmm. And there are the 7 colors. These gifts are like some would call it personality, I call it identity, mm-hmm. and it is the color through which you see the world around you. Mm-hmm. I will see it with one color, but if your gift is a different gift, you'll see a different color. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that and the beauty of that is this. The problem when I say, oh, it's red, and you say, no, it's blue. Mm-hmm. We see it from different angles because everything I look at will be filtered through my gift. And everything mm-hmm. you see is filtered through your gift. And yet when I look at that and I appreciate and honor each other, I will say to you, well, I see it red, but explain to me how it's blue. Mm-hmm. That way I can hear your portion, put it together with my portion, and we have a fullness. Whereas if I only see red and I expect everyone else to see red, you can see that that might cause a little disunity, even in a family. When I understood, finally, after all these years, this teaching not only helped me to understand the way I see the world, but it helped me to understand how my husband sees the world, and I discovered he sees it totally different than I do. So together, we've learned after 48 years to walk in unity and stop and honor and appreciate his way of thinking and mine. And together, we come to the place of unity and the fullness of his color.
And part of the issue is we have to be humble enough to recognize the beauty in each person. As opposed to pride, which will say, you're wrong because you don't think like me.
You're right.
That'll get us in trouble any day of the week.
Yes.
But everyone is unique in their gifts and the way God made and designed them. But that's, as you said, part of the beauty of it as well.
Yes.
I want to take a moment now to read through the different gifts that are, of course, listed in Romans 12. But I'm going to read specifically the chapter titles as you put in the printed them in the book. Of course, the first it first says, your destiny, his glory, then the gift of prophet / perceiver, the gift of servant, the gift of teacher, the gift of exhorter, the gift of giver, the gift of ruler, and the gift of mercy. Now, as we start out, I want to ask if you'll just expand a little bit. You shared how that you said you have the gift of mercy.
Yes.
And that helped you better understand when you learned what your gifts were. And I know in the book you share how that Brother Billy Joel and you went to hear a teaching that really helped change your world in as you learn about your gift. Expound on that, if you will.
Okay, well, when you learn the way it's explained in the book, but there are personality traits, and as I said, the way you look at the world around you and your community through your gift. Mm-hmm. And there are positives to that, and there are some negatives to that. Mm-hmm. And as a mercy gift, one of the negatives of a mercy is many times they will default to guilt. I'll assume the guilt. I just automatically assume somehow it is my fault. Mm-hmm. One of the negatives of the ruler gift, and my husband is a ruler gift, is they don't understand guilt. They don't usually take the guilt. They will normally just say, well, if the milk is spilled, let's clean it up and move on. Mm-hmm. Now, in our household, there are some conflicts. I don't know about yours, but ours, we have a few conflicts. Mm-hmm. So that when a conflict came up, his idea was to walk away. Don't worry about it. Just clean up the spilled milk. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I automatically assumed guilt for everything that happened. It was my fault. Any negative thing, I felt it was my fault. Which, once you've taken so much guilt, there is something inside of you that clicks, and you become angry, and you become bitter. And so, therefore, I walked around with lots of anger toward my husband because he could not understand why I felt so guilty. His idea was just get over it. But I couldn't just get over it because my gift has to work that through. Another thing is the gift of mercy is very slow to move on. So I would sit and stew and stay in that guilt where his gift moves on quickly. Well, can you see there was such, but the beauty of this was when he began to understand me, he began to see that it was mercy gift, not my fault, but he would help me work through the guilt, but he would also give me time to work it out. He stopped moving on so quickly and would stop and give me the time to change and shift. And it became a much more unified home life, to say the least. We learned to stop and look at the situation and decide, is it my fault? Is it his fault? And you know a big thing? He learned to say, I'm sorry, which was huge. Because in his mind, he didn't comprehend the guilt. So, mm-hmm. but he learned to say, I'm sorry. And that shifted my world. It mm-hmm. it helped us to learn to understand each other.
Now all this is in the context of your Christian couple.
Yes,
but
been
still,
Christian a long time before we had this.
But sometimes misunderstandings of who you are can create conflict.
Because he never understood the way I saw the world. Mm-hmm. And it was such a paradigm shift for him because, well, he had always seen the world in one way and assumed everybody else saw it his way. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I thought everybody saw it my way, mm-hmm. except that what I find, and I just want to say this to any Mercy who's out there, mm-hmm. You are valued. Mercy gifts, because they are created a little bit different than any of the other gifts, they think in a different paradigm. All the other six gifts hear with their head, mm-hmm. understand, and then it moves into their heart. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the mercy gift hears with their heart first. They feel how things should be in their heart. They most of the time do not have the understanding of it in their mind. Mm-hmm. They hear it with their heart, then it gradually moves to their mind and they begin to understand. So mm-hmm. therefore, of all the gifts, the mercy is the most misunderstood gift. Mm-hmm. I always felt like maybe I did come from a different planet than the rest of the world. But Arthur Burke says it's like a Mac computer can do so many things. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult for a Mac computer to talk to a PC. Hmm. And the other six gifts are like PCs. They are line on line, precept on precept, understanding, but not the mercy gift. They're the Mac computer that is very intuitive, has more understanding than they can even comprehend. And yet, when they begin to try to put it in words and understand it line on line, it comes out a little bit different. And so they're usually marginalized and not understood. But when that mercy understands who they are and a mercy gets their voice, it's phenomenal. It's excellent because they speak straight to the heart.
Okay. Okay. So that's the mercy gift.
That's the mercy gift.
Well, let's go back, look in the, specifically you mentioned the gift of prophet /perceiver.
Yes.
Let's pick up there.
Okay. Well, the prophet perceiver, the reason I put perceiver out there, because when people in the body of Christ hear prophet, they think of John the Baptist and they think of Elijah and those prophets. This is not that prophet.
Okay.
A perceiver is one who perceives the design of how something is built. Mm-hmm. They perceive the how-to of any situation. They feel that their answer can fix any situation. Mm-hmm. And many times they're very verbal. And when they come to a situation or prophet, they know how to fix it. And most of the time they're right. And that's very difficult for the other gifts because most of the time they are right. Mm-hmm. But they're jump out there very quick to tell you how to fix it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with the body of Christ, we don't need to know how to fix it. Mm-hmm. We need to know how to work together to fix it. So, but the perceiver is the one that understands how to fix it. Mm-hmm. So when we honor that, when we listen to them, because they've got lots of words and they want to use those words, and but we need to listen so we know how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guests are Billy Joe and Ruthie Young. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, my name is Reggie Rogers, the host of Power Jam's Wake Up Show. What, y'all?
Don't leave us out, Brother Rogers.
I'm saying. Mother, I wasn't going to do that, but along with me, join the break, fast, club.
Hey, y'all.
Holla!
Ready on the left, Brother Rogers.
Hey, man, Jose. Join us each and every Saturday at 8 o'clock a.m. and again at 8 o'clock p.m. right here on Urban Family Talk.
Power Jams.
The Wake Up Show.
We need you to call your senators today. Tell them to put an end to the liberals' filibuster, switch to a majority vote, and defund Planned Parenthood. Your call will make a difference. Call the Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121 or go to afaaction.net. Again, call 202-224-3121 and tell your senators to switch to a majority vote and defund Planned Parenthood.
Dr. Tony Evans says God has an agenda for each and every one of us. But what happens if we don't carry it out? Can people stand in the way of the Lord's purposes and plans? We'll find out as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Nobody is indispensable. I don't care how good you are, how rich you are, how powerful you are, how skilled you are. God never limits himself to one person. God always has hidden options. See, if you're going downtown Dallas, you're going down 35, and they have an accident on the highway. In case you don't know it, I know most of you know it, if you're stuck on the highway, there are other options, okay? 35 is not your only option, it's just your direct option. Because you can get off on Illinois, turn left, go over to Zang, turn right to Jefferson, turn right again, go across the Jefferson Street Bridge, and you're going to be downtown. God always has hidden options. If he can't use you, then he will find somebody else. We don't even know who they are, because God never allows men to box him in. Okay? So while he wants to use you and me, I'm of no delusion that God can get rid of me and bring somebody better than me here at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. If I feel that about me, you know how I feel about you. That God always keeps his options open.
Find out how God equipped you to be a Plan A part of his kingdom agenda. Check out Tony's CD series, Destiny, Let God Use You Like He Made You. Available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Vashon Mitchell, the song Nobody Greater. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guests today are Billy Joe and Ruthie Young, and we're looking today at the book Ruthie has written called Your Destiny, His Glory, Discovering the How and the Why of Your Design. And so, Ruthie, you were touching on the gifts of prophet slash perceiver, and just a few specific characters. I tell you what we're going to do is I'm going to ask if you'll go ahead and give us a one-liner on each of the gifts, and then we're going to come back to them then, okay?
Okay, all right.
So just go ahead.
This is if you're coming to a conference table, mm-hmm. and what each gift would bring to that conference table. This doesn't necessarily mean Christian conference table. This is how they see the world around them. The prophet will bring the how-to and how to get it done. The servant will bring authority with the help to accomplish it. The teacher will bring the truth and make sure everybody stays to the foundation of truth. The exhorter will bring the people that you will need and the encouragement to say, we can get this done. The giver will see resources that the others have missed, and they will bring the resources to accomplish the task. The ruler will bring the plan. He's always got a plan of how to get it done. And if that plan starts going awry, he'll form another plan, but he has the plan. Mm-hmm. And then the mercy brings the alignment, the understanding of the timing, and the atmosphere that every person has a place at the table. Mm-hmm. So with every person doing their part, the task is easily accomplished.
Mm, okay. And, you know, that, of course, touches powerfully on the truth that, of course, Christ has made us. We're the body of Christ.
Yes.
And each part of the body of Christ has an important place. And here, Ruth, you know, one of the things, truths that comes to my mind is there's a great need for us to stay away from the approach to say, well, this person is not important. And yes. Sadly, too often in well, obviously in the world, but even in the church, sometimes our actions may say, well, this person or this position is really not important. Whereas in God's economy, everybody's important mm-hmm. and has a place. So
has a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's expand a little bit more going back to the prophet perceiver. In the book, I want to share just some of the characteristics
sure.
you've listed. But you mentioned the prophet holds a simple worldview. To him, it is either right or wrong, in or out, black or white. Secondly, the prophet can take something apart, put it back together, and many times it will work better because he sees the design and understands the principles involved in the process. Thirdly, the prophet is a natural leader, very bold, not easily intimidated, usually the first to jump out in front with solutions to problems and knows no fear. Then fourthly, verbally expressive, a great communicator with prolific speech. And just in looking at that briefly then, so can you expand a little bit more on things that come to your mind about why it's important for us to recognize and to put to work the person with this gift?
Yes. They see design, mm-hmm. and that is the key with the prophet. And it, like I said, black or white, and some of the other gifts see gray. Mm-hmm. But we need the black and white standard, right or wrong, of the prophet, particularly in the church today, when there are so many variables and gray, what we would say gray areas. It's that prophet that will say, no, this is right, this is black. In the workplace, it's that prophet that has a vision of how it should be done. They're quick to jump out there, and they have faith because they see the end from the beginning. They know the design. And so in the workplace, when a task needs to be accomplished, it's that prophet that can see how to get it done. Mm-hmm. If we do this, we will need this portion and this portion and this portion. And by having all these pieces, then we'll be able to put it together. That could even be, I have a granddaughter who works at Chick-fil-A and she cleans tables, you know. Mm-hmm. But she could look at the overall view of that dining room, see which needs to be done first, get it done, and see the end results, and then work record that in results. It mm-hmm. can be put into use regardless of where you work. If you're a CEO, or if you're a manager, or if you're just cleaning tables, mm-hmm. a prophet, one of their standards is excellence. Mm-hmm. It will be done well. They want to finish the task, and they want the standard of excellence in everything they do. Mm-hmm. Some of the other gifts, 80% is good enough. That's not the prophet. Mm-hmm. They want 100% of mm-hmm. the task completed before they move to the next one. Mm-hmm. But they are the first ones to jump out and move to the next place,
okay.
leaving sometimes the rest of us behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, leaving everybody else in the dust maybe. So
you're
okay.
right, yes.
Okay, okay. The gift of servant, okay. Can you expound a little bit on that gift?
Yes, my favorite. Mm. The servant gift is the busiest gift. They are many times called the gift of helps. Mm-hmm. They see things to do and want to get them all done. Mm-hmm. In the church, they're the person that's there on Saturday morning mowing the grass. Mm-hmm. They're the woman that's the last one to leave after the potluck, or the first one to come to put the flowers in the sanctuary and be sure they notice the little places that need to be cleaning, and they do it. Mm-hmm. We tend to lean on the servants. They'll take care of the nursery. They will pick you up for doctor's appointments. They will busy. They're usually late everywhere they go because they're taking care of everyone. Mm-hmm. That's their heart. That's what they're called to do, and they love that, but we underappreciate them. Mm-hmm. We don't say thank you. We just assume on the servant. Mm-hmm. But God calls the servant to step back from the busyness, because the servant in the body of Christ carries the authority even over life and death situations. Mm-hmm. They are the atmosphere setters. When we come into a church where they have an excellent servant, everything's clean, fresh, you're ready to worship. They present an atmosphere that's clean and ready. You know, you'd rather do that than to go into a sloppy place mm-hmm. where the atmosphere hasn't been set. It's about the atmosphere with servant. Mm-hmm. Now, these people will be so busy that they don't stop to hear, Lord, where is the atmosphere you want me to set? Is it church on Sunday morning? Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Say no to picking up, taking care of the nursery, cleaning up the dishes, sweeping mm-hmm. the floor, to begin to say no to some of those things so that they can hear God of what they need to be doing. Mm-hmm. A servant is an amazing armor bearer. They know how to cleanse. The word cleanse is always associated with a servant. They can cleanse a pastor's calendar by taking care of things that he doesn't have to mm-hmm. so that he can go in, hear the Lord, and present the word on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Without that servant, the word won't have the power mm-hmm. because the pastor hasn't had time to do what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. The servant is like the laver in the tabernacle. The priest had to be cleansed before they could go to the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. And that servant stands as a cleanser for a minister or for a CEO of a company mm-hmm. to be able to cleanse, to set the atmosphere so that whoever they're serving can be the fullest that they need to be, whether mm-hmm. it's a CEO, whether it's a pastor, to cleanse the atmosphere. And if I've got time to share about Daniel Nash.
Okay, go ahead.
One of my favorite servants is a man named Daniel Nash, mm-hmm. intercessor. He understood his call. Mm-hmm. He didn't take care of all the other things that were calling his name. He learned to say no. Mm-hmm. And he felt called to a man named Charles Finney to cleanse Charles Finney's atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So Charles Finney understood and appreciated the servant of Daniel Nash. Mm-hmm. And Daniel, the way they worked together in partnership was, Daniel would go into a city and fast and pray, mm-hmm. setting the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Then when he felt the time of the Lord was right, he would send a note to Mr. Finney, the city is prepared. Now that is preparation. Charles Finney would come into the city. And we know the results was a great awakening, because this man brought thousands, maybe millions, to the Lord. However, he could not have done that without the atmosphere of life being set by a man named Daniel Nash. And when Mr. Nash died an early death, they said possibly because he had prayed, fasted so much, Charles Finney stopped the evangelistic circle and took a church, because he said, after Daniel Nash was gone, I had no one to go in and shift the atmosphere of the city for me through prayer. And he took a church as a local pastor. That's the power of a servant when they understand, yes, they may be called to wash dishes, but there's always a greater call to get alone with the Lord, to stop the busyness and hear the one thing that God's called you to do in the earth, your mission. It's possibly a background, but it's to set atmosphere for life to come.
And you know, Ruthie, that's a powerful example of a servant, because lots of people have never heard of Daniel Nash.
You're right.
And they've never heard his name, but I believe some of the greatest rewards in heaven will be to intercessors, people that nobody knew their name, didn't know what they did, but God knew their name, and God worked through them to accomplish great things for the kingdom that no one may know about on this earth except God.
Yes. You know, so that's the call of an intercessor, is to just be that bridge between heaven and earth, to the Irish call it create a thin place. It's where the atmosphere between heaven and earth is so thin that heaven can break through.
So that's with the servant. And of course, for time reasons, we're going to have to kind of cut off there. But our goal is to pick up tomorrow and get all the way through the rest of the gifts as well. And it's our hope that every single person listening will finish with a better grasp of what their gifts are, where their area of strength is, and see themselves in one of these gifts. And would you say, are there ever times where some people may have more than one of these gifts, though?
That's a common question, and it's possible, yes. One friend said, one gift's a driver and the other's passenger. It could be. I don't have a definite answer to that, but yes. But we're all called to be like Jesus.
That's right.
Who manifested all seven of the... Even that prophet could be a servant when they're walking with Jesus.
Amen. And again, we're going to pick up tomorrow, and we'll be talking further about the rest of the book. Again, the name of the book is Your Destiny, His Glory. Discover the how and why of your design. Hope you'll join us tomorrow as we get through the rest of the gifts as well. Thank you, Billy Joe. And thank you, Ruthie, for being with us today.
Thank you,
Joseph.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.